This is Mental Wealth on 103.2 Dublin City FM with Brian Green.
On today's programme, I'm talking with a Human Givens practitioner, Denise Wynne, about depression. Good afternoon, Denise.
Hello there, Brian.
Tell me about the Human Givens approach to depression and how it differs from the standard approach.
Right. What's very special about the Human Givens is that it has a framework which is based around the fact that we all have essential emotional needs and innate resources to help us meet them. So most other forms of therapy, they'll take an approach, they'll look at the symptoms, they'll look at what's wrong with you, whereas we would be looking to see what's not working in a person's life. So when their emotional needs are not being met, and this could be something like not having sufficient control over things in their life, or feeling insecure, or not having any sense of meaning, or sense of achievement, there's a variety of them, about nine of them, then this is going to have an effect on them mentally. It's going to bring them down and may, for many people, end up in something like depression.
So if I don't exercise and stay at home a lot and don't go out and mingle with people, that could be the side issues that need to be looked at rather than the core issue itself that I might present with.
Well, the core issue, say, if you come and say, I'm feeling depressed. Yes, exactly. We would be looking at, okay, what's going on in your life? There might have been some precipitating factor, of course. There could have been a great loss, and it's a natural reaction to feel great sadness. But if, as you said, the person gradually starts to withdraw, maybe they start to drink, maybe they start just staying home alone drinking and just not seeing people who love them, yes, that's a slippery slope, and that's where we would want to come in and start to help them get out there again. Because what people with depression very commonly say is, I used to like playing tennis or going salsa dancing or whatever. I'll do it again when I feel better. But the point about depression is you don't get better until you do it. So you need to get out there and do that stuff, even if it doesn't feel like what you want to do right now. And most people with depression, they take that small step and they realize they do start to feel better.
Most environments, psychiatric interactions, I might be offered some drugs to expedite my recovery and get me back on their track to recovery. That's not the approach at first call or at all with the Human Givens approach, is it?
Well, no, we wouldn't prescribe medication anyway. We're not able to do that. It's well known now that antidepressants work only with a portion of people, proportion. So it might be, well, it is, about a third of people can get benefit, a third, nothing happens, and a third may actually get worse. And it's interesting you ask this, because I just saw some research very recently published in a journal called BMC Psychiatry, which referred to evidence that nearly half of people with major depression don't get adequate relief from antidepressants. So the researchers went and did a survey of over 2,000 people from six countries. And what they found was that those who don't get that relief, 30% felt frustration, 27.4% felt apprehension, anxiety, and fear, and another 27.4% felt hopelessness. Well, that's really very important, because if you feel fear because you've got this drug and it's not helping me, that can very quickly lead into hopelessness, can't it? You know, what's going to happen? I'll never get better. And feeling hopelessness is what tends to lead to suicide and suicide attempts.
While psychiatrists are then going on arguing about the switching the drugs because the ones they gave them aren't working and there are other ones that might work, Human Givens is getting into talking therapies really early on. Is that going to take a long time, or is that actually have a quicker recovery?
Oh, it's quick. Yes, we often can help someone with depression in one, two or three sessions. Not everyone, but a great many people, because they see that the light bulb comes on. They recognize that unmet needs, things they're not maybe addressing, maybe it's being really unhappy in a relationship or a job, to try and find ways to deal with that. It might be learning certain skills to be more assertive. It might be choosing to say, okay, I'm going to try and find another job. Various things you can help a person do, and to just think more differently about what's happening to them too.
does the person in front of you need to be a willing participant and open to change?
Largely, yes, I would say so. Because if somebody, well, particularly if somebody came to see a human givens practitioner because their partner wanted them to come or their parent, and they don't really want to be there, it's much harder to work with them. It's not impossible because you can say something. We reframe a lot of things, so we put it in a different light, and again, that light bulb moment can happen. And we also do quite a lot of work where we will deeply relax someone and maybe tell them stories and just open their minds in different, more oblique ways. And that can have an amazing effect as well, just opening people up to being more able to think about things differently.
So it's a kind of a unique approach, like from practitioner to practitioner, it could be a little bit different. They would have different ways of getting to a person.
Well, I'd say there's a range of tried and tested methods that we draw on because we do use evidence-based methods of therapy. So there's, you will know of cognitive behavioral therapy, I'm sure. We will use a lot of aspects of that. So we'll get people to think about faulty thinking, the idea of I'm hopeless, etc. I'll never be able to change. That's cognitive, but we don't make it our whole thing we do. And similarly, we'll do a lot of listening, a great deal of listening, but we will also nudge and suggest so we don't leave the person just going over and over and over the stuff that they're miserable about. We take them forward, we empower them, we give them hope. And that's something we would all do in the first session, give people hope.
You're an expert in the area of depression, so I have a couple of questions about that. There's a cycle in depression that needs to be broken. Is that the same as the cycle within the depression, like that rumination that you keep going on over and over and over with things? Or is the cycle of depression kind of a broader outside thing?
No, the cycle of depression, as we refer to it, is indeed what happens when needs are not met in some form, and the person starts to worry about it, and they spend a lot of time thinking about this thing, not in a productive way, but in a just getting very upset about it. It's known now that people who have depression dream a lot more than people who don't have depression. And one of the co-founders of Human Givens Approach, who did a lot of study of depression and dreaming, recognized that what happens is that we need to dream out things that have got us emotionally aroused in the day that we haven't expressed. So this, there's a lot of this for people with depression and anxiety, because anxiety is a huge part of depression. So all that thinking of, you know, oh, this will never change, oh, he doesn't love me, oh, I'll never get another job, that somehow, in some metaphorical form, will get dreamed out. But it takes up a lot of energy to dream. It uses a great deal. So what tends to happen is the person will wake up. The dreaming mechanism says, that's enough now, I'm exhausted. And the person wakes up and they're exhausted too, because it's early hours, they've been doing all this dreaming, they haven't had enough slow sleep, which is thought to be the time when all the physical repairs happen. And they wake up, and what do? They think, oh, I'm awake, it's only 3 a.m, I've got to go to work, when is this ever going to end, I feel so terrible. And of course, now they're building up already for the next night, when they're going to have to do it all over again. So to break that cycle of depression, we've got to get people out of that negative thinking, and often just telling them this is part of what's keeping them unable to sleep is a huge motivating factor. And then, as I said, we want to get them out there starting to do things. Small things at first if necessary, and then bigger so they're connecting again.
You mentioned earlier the light bulb moment. Is it about getting the service user or patient in front of you to see it for themselves?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. They will see it for themselves. It's not a case of us just saying, you will do this. And of course, that's a problem in a way when you give drugs to people. You say, you take this antidepressant and you will feel better. And as we said, the proportion of people will feel better. But what they don't learn is how to cope with those feelings when they occur again. Because it isn't a one-off. There are people who have a tendency towards depression. And they need to know what to do to snap themselves out of it at an earlier stage next time, which is what we're teaching by looking at the way they think, by things they're doing, by things they stop doing. You know, they have got what they need to know to help them the next time. They won't get that from drugs.
I've spoken to a number of Human Givens practitioners in the last while, and what I generally find is that they're very kind and giving and gentle people. Is there ever a point where you're in a situation where the person who needs help is just not helping themselves and they need a sharp elbow to say, come on, you're not helping yourself here?
Well, I do think one does have to be direct at certain times. I think one would try and show them that, you know, what they're doing, just maybe by the language one uses. So that you say, okay, so did you go for that walk? We said we agreed you're going to go for a walk 3 times a week. No, I didn't actually. I just sort of stayed home. Okay, so did that help? No. So you just kind of get them to see it in a different way.
Working in the area of depression and mental health, is there a lot of job satisfaction for Denise in this?
Well, yes, there is. You might think it would be rather a depressing thing to do, but in fact it's not, because of the way we work as human givens practitioners. We are looking for the good in people and what's already working for them in their lives and how we can get it working better. And this gives us an enormous satisfaction. It's very uplifting. But we would not expect to get our full meaning and purpose in life, or status, they're two important needs, from this work. It's really important that one has a wider way of connecting and getting one's needs met for professionals as well as the persons coming with depression.
It sounds like when you're talking about needs not being met, is sort of a bit of detective work to be done.
Yes, and often it's very obvious as well. You know, somebody is in a marriage where they don't have any control over the money and they don't do anything without their partner's say-so. It's pretty obvious that person is rather lacking in control. Or if they're working in a job where they get no chance to put their own ideas in and do anything their own way, again, control is lacking. And that has been shown very clearly in research that was done, in fact, with civil servants in Whitehall many decades ago, that they were looking at heart attacks and who gets them. And they thought it was going to be the top guys, you know, they all stress, all this responsibility on them, they'd be having the heart attacks. But it wasn't. It was the people much lower down who just didn't have any control over their work.
Denise, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Brian.
To contact the programme, email mentalwealth@dublincityfm.ie.
We're going to have a look at a week that was for Manchester. Last Monday, the 22nd of May, 2017, just after 10:30 p.m., moments after the concert by Ariana Grande had ended, a bomb exploded at the exit to the Manchester Arena. The explosion led to the deaths of 22 people and more than 100 people were injured in the bombing. The incident developed into a story of a community's resilience in the face of extreme terror. Manchester, a city united, showed that love trumps hate, and the city had the moral maturity and mental resilience to combat those that used terror to divide a community. Hate will not tear us apart was Manchester's message. This is a look back at the week when Manchester showed the world what it means to have mental wealth when it's most needed.
Just a slight bit of breaking news to bring you at 10:56, just to interrupt this debate with Greater Manchester Police telling us that they are responding to an incident at the Manchester Arena. Now, if you know that, that's kind of the big gig venue in Manchester. We don't know any more than that. We don't know any nature of the incident, but Greater Manchester Police are appealing for people to stay away. So if you're listening to us in the area of Manchester this evening, Greater Manchester Police are asking you to stay away from the arena.
When routine bites hard, resentment rides high, but emotions won't grow. And we're changing our ways, taking different roads. Then love will tear us apart again. Love will tear us apart again. Love will tear us apart again.
Ellie, who was at the arena tonight. Ellie, are you okay?
Yeah, I am, thanks.
What can you tell us about what happened?
Basically, there was a loud explosion at the top of the stairs of the arena, and people started screaming and running. But we've just had an update from somebody that it was a shooting. And so we're all kind of in the park in hotel or something across the street because they're letting everybody just come in because apparently it's a shooting.
Who's told you that?
It was a passerby. One of them was crying and they all came running towards us. And we said, sorry, has there been an update? And she went, yeah, there's a shooting. So, it could be hearsay, but that's the first bit of news that we've heard so far.
And did you hear any noise?
We heard the explosion. We were in the arena when it happened.
And was the gig on?
No, it just ended. It was about literally less than a minute after it all ended and all the lights came back on and there was this explosion.
But my love, by the gasworks wall, dream the dream by the old canal. I kiss my girl by the factory wall, dirty old town, dirty old town. I met my love by the gasworks wall, dreamed a dream by the old canal. I kissed my girl by the factory wall, dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town.
I think all the cons should be wiping doors with it, so I was waiting up with the first set of white doors. As I was waiting, an explosion went off and it threw me through the first set of doors, about 30 foot to the next set of doors. When I got up and looked round, there was about 30 people scattered everywhere. Some of them looked dead, might have been unconscious, but there was a lot of fatalities. So my first thing was to run in the stadium to try and find my wife and daughter. When I couldn't find them, I went back out, and with the police and the fire and ambulance, whoever was there, I looked at some of the bodies trying to find my family. But luckily, they weren't there. Managed to find them outside the arena and got them back to the hotel with them. Phoned up because so many reports coming in that it was like a balloon and things not happening as it was. It was definitely an explosion and there's definitely a lot of fatalities.
Right, I mean, we're actually looking at the police statement from Greater Manchester Police confirming a lot of what people have been saying, a number of fatalities. This explosion, a lot of force then, it actually blew you off your feet.
It was some force. I mean, my ears are still ringing now, so I might be talking a bit loud. But it was the whole building shook.
In these circumstances, we have to come together. In these circumstances, a city and a community comes together in solidarity and in strength. So we carry on. We don't allow these attacks and these people to divide us or prevent us from leading the decent, normal lives that we all want to lead. There can be nothing worse than losing a child in a situation like this. We have to put our arms around them and support them, not just today, but in all the very difficult days to come, because trauma like this doesn't go in a day or two. It's there with them for the rest of their lives. We have to give them all the support we possibly can, and also make sure we live in a safe environment in the future and we live in safety together. But we do not allow our communities to be divided by this kind of appalling, atrocious act of violence.
And there's people and they're young and alive.
Good evening. While taping our show earlier tonight, we heard the horrific news coming out of Manchester in England that there had been an incident at Ariana Grande's concert. We still have no real information about what's happening. All we know is the tragic news that there are multiple fatalities and many injuries. It shocks me every time we hear this sort of news that attacks like this can happen, but especially when there will be so many children at this concert tonight. Many of you won't have ever been to Manchester, but you will definitely have heard of it. It's famous all over the world for so many wonderful things, great football teams, like Man City, Man United. It's famous for incredible music, Oasis and Joy Division. It was the birthplace of the leader of the suffragettes. It's the home of the inventor of the first computer. It's a place full of comedy and curries and character. But when I think of Manchester, the place that I know, I think of the spirit of the people there. And I'm telling you, a more tight-knit group of people you will be hard-pressed to find. Strong, proud, caring people with community at its core. And if it was even possible, the spirit of the people of Manchester will grow even stronger this evening. My thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Manchester tonight. All of the staff at the MEN Arena, all of the security teams, all of the emergency services, Ariana and her team, and all of those families affected by tonight. We'll all go to bed, holding our little ones even tighter this evening.
The road is long, with a many a winding tongue that leads us to who knows where.
This is the place in the northwest of England. It's ace, it's the best, and the songs that we sing from the stands from our bands set the whole planet shaking. Our inventions are legends. There's nought we can't make. And so we make brilliant music, we make brilliant bands, we make goals that make souls leap from seats in the stands. And we make things from steel, we make things from cotton, we make people laugh, take their mix something rotten, and we make you at home, we make you feel welcome, we make something happen, we can't seem to help it. And if you're looking for history, then yes, we've a wealth. But the Manchester way is to make it yourself. And this is the place where our folks came to work, where they struggled in puddles, they hurt in the dirt, and they built us a city. They built us these towns, and they coughed on the cobbles to the deafening sound of the steaming machines and the screaming of slaves. They were scheming for greatness. They dreamed to their graves, and they left us a spirit. They left us a vibe, that Mancunian way to survive and to thrive and to work and to build and to connect and create. And Greater Manchester's greatness is keeping it great. And so this is the place. Now, with kids of our own, some are born here, some drawn here. But we all call it home, and they've covered the cobbles, but they'll never defeat all the dreamers and schemers who still team through these streets, because this is a place that has been through some hard times. Oppressions, recessions, depressions and dark times. But we keep fighting back with Greater Manchester spirit, northern grit, northern wit in Greater Manchester lyrics in these hard times again. And there's hard times again. There's hard times again in these streets of our city. But we won't take defeat. And we don't want your pity, because this is the place where we stand strong together with a smile on our face, Mancunians forever, because this is the place in our hearts, in our homes, because this is the place that's a part of our bones, because Manchester gives us such strength from the fact that this is the place. We should give something back. Always remember. Never forget. Forever Manchester. Yeah. Choose love, Manchester. Thank you.
And that wraps up another Mental Wealth on Dublin City FM.
To contact the programme, email mentalwealth@dublincityfm.ie.
We're back next Tuesday at 12:30. Thanks for listening. Take care and goodbye.